I just got this picture as we were singing that, and of us sitting outside a door and waiting for the door to open. And the word, like again, that I shared with you then about what was shared with me on Friday, that positioning and just positioning ourselves to just even what God wants to pour out on us and what he wants to reveal to us. And sometimes the door seems closed, but it's just closed temporarily, if it is closed at all. And God has a plan, and he has a timing in it, and he is working on us, and there is stuff happening in us, and we are changing, and to position ourselves for that door to be opened, position ourselves for God to just pour himself out, and then follow him through that door when he leads, doing what he says, going where he says to go, saying what he says to say, shouting what he says to shout. You know, and just that positioning. That's a word I wanna key on this morning then. And so there's a few passages that come to my heart. Matthew 25 talks about the parable of the virgins, and I think we all know that parable that Jesus tells. And yeah, it's specifically talking about the end times, but I think the principle is the same. Whether it's end times or whether it is our daily life and our daily walk with God, at that time, and that's why we know that it's the end times, because Jesus has just been talking about the signs of the ends of the age, and the day and the hour is unknown, and it speaks specifically at that time, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven will look like 10 virgins, or will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take oil with them. And the oil, I believe, really like stands for the Holy Spirit and the walk of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, following the Spirit, nurturing that relationship where we know his voice and we go where he goes, we stay where he stays, we say what he says, we do what he does, we recognize what he is doing in our lives, and we walk out holiness and righteousness, all those things that have to do with the walk of the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit of God. And so they have the oil, the 5 of them. But the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they became drowsy and fell asleep. And sometimes, you know, I even think about, you know, the Lord is coming soon. And it always reminds me, whenever someone says that, it reminds me of Revelation. And Jesus himself at that point, talking with John, says, behold, I am coming soon. And we know that that's about 2,000 years ago now. And so God's idea of soon is not our idea of soon all the time. I do believe he's coming soon. And by our version of what that word means, but people throughout the millennia have been wrong about that. But what I do know too is even these words that God is giving us about the bucket, you know, pouring down, and about the suddenly, and the I've heard your call for more, and I've got to share another one too. Where so on the ride back home, or no, it was on. Anyways, doesn't matter. Ride to, ride back, doesn't matter. Jiva was talking about this guy, Pete Penner. Pete Penner, I kept on using the word. He was talking with someone else that we were driving there. And then I said to him, Pete Penner, is he about 50 years old, about that age? Yeah, yeah. And this big guy, like muscular, yeah, yeah. And grew up in Grantham MB Church, yeah, yeah. And I know him, oh, you know. And so then Jiva takes out his phone and takes a picture of me driving, and then sends it to Pete Penner. Hey, do you know this guy? You know, and Pete Penner texts back right away. Yeah, I know him. And then he shares a word of Pete Penner over texting. So this is how the Holy Spirit can work, right? The Holy Spirit can text through people. And he talks about. I forget how it's worded. I gotta ask Jiva to forward the exact wording of it. but there's going to be great healing, like, or Kevin is going to walk in great healing. And again, I don't think it's just me. I don't think Pete's just seeing me. I think it's us. I really do. And I'm not just saying that to, oh, I want to share, you know, and it's a good thing to share. No, there's some things that are specifically for me at times and not you. And there's some things that specifically are for you and not me at times. But really, I do believe it's an us thing. And talked about how it's going to walk in great healing. And the healing, and I share this only because it's important for us to hear this. So I don't want you to look at me right now. But and the healing will come through humility. And someone else, it was on the ride home, I believe, when that's happened, because someone else had mentioned words humility and vulnerability earlier during the prayer time, actually, that we had. And again, it reminds me of positioning ourselves. And so we want to be positioned right. So we have the oil. We're walking by the Spirit. We're listening to the Spirit. But then also how we walk. And that positioning of humility, that positioning of vulnerability, that positioning of taking that place of student and always learning. And yes, we have things to share, but oh, we have so much to receive as well. And we have things that, yes, God will use us to teach others, but then we have so much to learn and be taught by others. And it's gonna, I want to position myself so that I can receive, and we want to position ourselves so that we can receive everything that God has for us. Everything. And not miss a single thing. Not miss a single thing. And so the wise virgins, they took oil along in their jars. And yeah, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, you know, and sometimes, yeah, we think the Lord is a long time in coming, but he's coming. He is coming. That's a fact. And these things that he's talked to us about in our lives, these things are going to happen. These things are going to happen. Get rid of doubt. I'm working. I'm like you said, Candace, where I'm not quite there yet with the son thing. I am actually. I can honestly say that. I know I'm a child of God, and I love it. And I pray that over each of you as well. I pray that you would understand that you are a child of God and how loved you are. But some of the things that God has talked to me about and talked to us about, and even this dream from 20 years ago, it's like, it's probably never going to happen, or I don't know, you know. And yet, I don't go that far to say it probably will never happen. It's just like time goes on and time goes on. But it's like, no, this is going to happen. This is fact. And I'm going to be ready for it. I'm going to position myself to be ready for it. I'm going to humbly accept the word that God has given to us, and I'm going to believe it's going to happen. This outpouring is going to happen. The suddenly is going to happen. And it's not going to be a suddenly where we're going to have to talk ourselves into believing that it's happened. Do you think that was the suddenly? I think so, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. No, if you're saying maybe not, then no, it wasn't the suddenly that's going to happen. It's like with healing or like with rain, that testimony of the rain in Kenya. Or it's like healing where I know that when my back is healed, got someone to pray for my back yesterday again. I know that when my back is fully healed, it will be obvious. I won't have to talk myself into it. I've been injured for about, you know, 15 to 20 years now, and I know what a hurt back is, and I've lived with it. But I know that when I'm healed, I will be healed. And I know what that will look like. It won't be a talking myself into it. So same with what God has been speaking to us. And so yes, it might seem like he's a long time coming, but he is coming. But then it goes on, and they all became drowsy. Very interesting, all of them. Not just the five foolish virgins, but also the five wise ones. They all became drowsy. They all became tired, and they all fell asleep. And I get that. It's like, Lord, we've had this word over and over and over and over again in Emmanuel Grace, And some of us have had words before Emmanuel Grace were even born about stuff like this. And we've been praying for so long. We've been asking for so long. Maybe this is just life and we should just, you know, go on with it. And sometimes we forget the words that the Lord has has been speaking over us. But at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Interesting thing here. I've read this before. I remember reading this as a little kid. Those wise virgins, they're not very nice. They're not sharing. We teach our kids to share. Like, why don't they share? I don't think that's the point of what Jesus is saying here, because again, I think the oil is the walk in the Spirit. I think it's this place of, I can't share it with you. You have to walk it out yourself. I can tell you where to go buy it. I can tell you how to get it, but I can't walk out a walk of the Spirit for you. I can only walk out a walk of the Spirit for myself. I can try and lead you in it. I can try and teach you about it. I can encourage you in it when I see it. I can maybe confront you when I don't see it. But I can't walk it for you. You have to buy your own oil. It reminds me of Revelation when he's talking to the church of Laodicea. And he says, come, buy from me gold. Buy from me these things. I can't buy it for you. You have to buy it. It's interesting, you buy without cost. It's interesting how that works, but you have to do it. I can't do it for you. I can't split up my walk in the Spirit and give some to you. It doesn't work that way. So we each need to walk in the Spirit. We each need to have the oil in our lives. But while the foolish virgins were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, open the door for us, they said. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch. You don't know the day or the hour. And it's this place of when the time comes, when the suddenly comes, we're either ready or we're not. You're either ready or you're not. It's like hide and seek, right? Ready or not, here I come. But I haven't found a hiding spot yet. Too bad, I see you. You know, you're caught. No one knows the day or the hour except the Father. I don't know when this suddenly is coming. All prophetic words that have been given to us point to it being soon. And yet, I look at the Lord and say, but Lord, your definition of soon seems to be a lot different than mine. And that's okay. But again, that position, I want to position myself at his feet. I want to position myself outside the door so that I'm right there when the door opens. I want to position myself on the city gates and on the city wall so that as soon as I see him, I can run out to him. As soon as I see him, I can light my lamp. You know, I want to be a light sleeper. And sometimes I do fall asleep. It's true. Just like the virgins here. I fall asleep sometimes. I forget the things that God has promised. But I want to be a light sleeper so that as soon as I hear your voice, I wake up. I trim my lamp and I get it burning so I can see your face as well, so I can greet you. May we position ourselves well. Another passage that came to mind was John chapter 6. So Jesus had many people following him, and many people were with him. And then Jesus gives his sermon of eat my flesh and drink my blood. And if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. If anyone eats, verse 51 of chapter 6, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. And how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, meaning the knowledge of God. and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in Capernaum, in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing this, many of his disciples, okay, these are disciples, not the apostles, we're going to get to them, but the disciples, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life, yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You don't want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." I see Peter sitting there saying, "I got nowhere else to go. This is the only position that I know. At your feet. I don't understand you. I don't feel comfortable with you. You freak me out sometimes. I sometimes doubt whether you even love me." You know, you remember when they were in the boat and the boat's being swamped and that. "I sometimes doubt, I don't get you. And yet you have the words of life." And I see Peter, like Mary, you know, sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary, beautiful woman, right, of heart. She sits at Jesus' feet. She positions herself in that place to just receive. And when Jesus talks of her, he says, she has chosen what's better. Remember, later on in John, Martha gets all upset. "Tell her to help me in the kitchen." That's not that the kitchen isn't a good position. Helping, wanting to help, wanting to serve, that's a noble thing. But Mary has chosen better. Mary's chosen the better position, and that position is at my feet. Just drinking in every word that comes from me, because she understands that I have food that you don't know anything about. You're making food in the kitchen, Martha. I'm making food right here. I'm just handing out food. And Martha didn't position herself well. Mary positioned herself well. Peter in John chapter 6, as well as the other 12, positioned themselves well. It's not that that position is comfortable. It's not that that position always makes sense. But it's needed. I position myself at your feet. It reminds me of people who, you know, camped out 3 days at the royal wedding a month ago, you know, and they camped out 3 days so that they get a place at the front of the line, like, if you will, or closest to the road, and other people were behind them, so that they could get just one glimpse of Harry and Meghan going by on their little chariot there, little wagon. One glimpse. They positioned themselves well. If that's what they want, they were rewarded for 5 seconds or so. They positioned themselves well. I heard that the prime spot was at this one place where there was a corner, and just to be right on that corner, because that's when the horses had to slow down. So instead of getting like 3 seconds, they got 6 seconds. They positioned themselves well. Are you positioned well? Are you positioned well in the Lord? Now, I hear this question ringing out in my ears right now from someone in the second row. Can you give me a practical example? I love it. And I want to give practical examples how to position yourself well. You follow what the Lord is saying, no matter what that means. If you believe the Lord is speaking. Now, it's not that we can't be wrong. We are wrong sometimes. Sometimes what we think is the Lord is not the Lord. Okay, and so we still need to be refined in our discernment. And that's why I always encourage, and I want to continue to encourage, that when you have a word from the Lord, quote unquote, a word from the Lord, and phrase it like this, because it brings a humility. Again, I think humility is incredibly important. It brings a humility. Phrase it like this: I believe the Lord is saying. Because it leaves room the possibility of, I might be hearing wrong. And again, I want to share that, like, Randy and Darla are two of the people that I don't know anyone who hears the Lord better than them. I'm not saying there aren't people who hear the Lord better than them. I imagine there are, but I don't know them. I don't, like, but personally, and yet they often, if not always, phrase it, I believe I hear the Lord saying this. It's that humble place. But what I would say is, if you believe the Lord hearing is saying something, do it. Whether it has to do with your family, or with your job, with your schooling, your kids' schooling, whether it has to do with calling someone up, yeah, just go for it. Just go. Just, okay, Lord, I believe I hear you saying this. And like Craig has told you, if you're wrong. Now, I think, again, words of correction or direction, that we should be a little bit slower on. We should get a few people that we trust, run it by them first, and that's why we as elders are always open, like, give us a call or talk to us, and because we don't want to send people off in a tailspin, because those are strong words sometimes, direction or correction and that kind of thing. But I know that for me, I've shared my testimony before, and again, when this person said, you've positioned yourself well, I was just like, oh, hey, so encouraged. And I just think back to our choices in life, and I've shared my testimony of not sending out my resume in Bible college when all my friends were sending out hundreds, if not thousands, of resumes, you know, all over the country and the United States and that, and I didn't send out any. Going to Haiti when I did not want to go, you know. One where I blew it is when we came back from Haiti and I know I should have stayed. I didn't position myself well there. Staying in a regular, just 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or 7 to 5, 7 to 6 job when other opportunities were coming up for ministry, and yet the Lord told me to stay where I was and stay in the working world. Going to Thailand with our kids, coming back from Thailand, going to St. Anne's, leaving St. Anne's. Some of those decisions make sense in the world's eyes, some in the church's eyes. Some of those decisions, let me tell you, did not make sense. This still doesn't make sense. I was sharing with some of the people then at this pastor's little get-together or leadership get-together, and they were asking about Emmanuel Grace, and I was sharing with Jeeva as well, and I remember when the Lord first called us to resign from St. Anne's, and make this our place of full-time church. I said, okay, Lord, we'll do it. But I know our bank account. I know our finances. We can last 6-8 months, maybe. Maybe 10, you know. And here we are, 4 years later. The Lord has provided. Why? Because I believe this is from the Lord. And I chose a position of obedience rather than what makes sense to our natural mind. I chose to position myself at his feet and saying, okay, this is what I hear you saying, so I'm going to do it. So continue to position yourselves. Continue to listen to the Spirit. Ask for the Spirit to speak. And even if, you know, that one song we sang from the 70s or whatever, though none go with me, still I will follow. I look at the disciples in John chapter 6, and that's their lives right there. Though none are going with us, though everyone else is leaving, we can't, because we know you have the words of life. So I'm positioning myself at your feet right now, even though I'm just as offended as they are. Eat your flesh, drink your blood, that's gross. It's disgusting. And he's like, I'm not talking about bread, you know. But at that time, they didn't get that. They were just as offended, just as confused, and yet I'm not going anywhere. We've shared before, I think we could probably double in size, people-wise, maybe even triple in size, people-wise, if we would have hour-and-a-half services. But I don't see that. When I sit at Jesus' feet, I just don't see that. I just don't see that. I see him smiling, and I haven't asked him that in any serious manner, because I really don't care. I actually like that we're small, so I'm kind of the opposite. I hope we stay small, you know, but I don't want to exclude other people from coming either. But some people will look at our strategy and just be utterly confused by it, and not that this strategy is for everyone. Like, not that this way is for everyone. It's not. But that's what I hear him saying to us. And so it's like, okay, I'm positioning myself. We're positioning ourselves. We had an hour and a bit, hour and a quarter of sharing time today. That just, does that make sense? It makes sense to me. When I stare at Jesus' face and when I hear him speaking through you and when I see him ministering to us and all that, it makes sense to me. And we're positioning ourselves to just for God to pour himself out on us. I would encourage that. Continue. Have your way, Lord Jesus. We want to be in the proper place at the proper time. I'm going to be sharing something with Larry and Josh. I want to talk to you guys before we leave here, but a proposal has been given to us, and it's like, Lord, is this from you? And we need to position ourselves well. Yes, no, where do you want us? Because I want to be there when those floodgates open. I want to be there when that bucket drops. There is, I have a little bit of a fear, you know? And you know what it is? So you're sitting there, your kid is sitting there waiting for the bucket, right? And then it's like, oh, but I see my toy over there. And then goes to get the toy. And, I don't want to walk in fear or anything, because that's not a good way. That's not positioning yourself well. It's like, Lord, I just want to stay where you are, because I know that that's where the bucket is going to drop. X marks the spot. You are the X. You are it. And if you're moving, I'm moving, because I know that that's where it's all going to go down. And I believe that's for every person's life. And that's why I've always said, too, if you ever feel like you're called to go somewhere else and you believe it's the Spirit of God, we will pray through that with you and we will bless that. Okay, I don't want to lose any of you, but it wouldn't be losing you anyways. But like I don't want to see anyone leave. Love all of you. But seriously, if you in prayer, if all of a sudden you hear the Lord saying, "I think we're supposed to go somewhere else." Not because if it's this place of, "Oh, I think we're supposed to go somewhere else because these 2.5 hour, 3 hours services are getting a little much." No, that's not the Spirit of God. Okay, but if you hear the Lord saying, yeah, I bless that because I want you to be positioned exactly like you're supposed to be positioned so that that bucket drops on you. So that his blessing drops on you. Now, don't worry, you might be thinking, who's he talking about right now? Does he know something? No, I haven't heard it for any of you. You're all staying. Okay. But I just say that in order for you to understand that being at his feet is more important than being here. Being at his feet is more important. Be where you're called to be. Do what you're called to do. Call out to those you're called to call out to. Position yourself. Position yourself at his feet. Let's be wise. Let's be wise, a wise bride, where we are set apart exclusively for Jesus. Right? Let's be wise in the way we live. And we understand that that encompasses all of life. From where we live, to what we do, to who we call, to where we go, to how we use our finance, to how we use our time. Let's be wise and position ourselves well. Are there any comments or questions on this? And someone else will have to man the well, actually, I. I can walk around then. Any comments or questions on this?
I was just thinking about the oil, I guess, and yeah, what you said is as far as the spirit, yes, and I think it would include also like the word is
absolutely,
you know, filling your heart with the words,
absolutely,
God's word, and yep, and you know, yeah, constantly it fill yourself up with that,
yep,
and that's something that you can, yeah, absolutely tell someone about and show them how, and then it's up to them if,
yep,
they want to turn and fill themselves up.
Absolutely.
So I see it as the word along with the spirit.
Absolutely. A walk in the spirit requires, I think, especially for those, like, we have the word of God with us, and that a walk in the spirit, I think, requires being in the word. Absolutely. That's good. Anyone else? All right. Just click that down. Then let's pray then. Lord, you have the words of life, because you are the life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. You have come to give abundant life. Lord, you breathed into our nostrils and you gave us life. You knit us together in our mother's wombs, Lord, and gave us life. And I pray that, Lord, you'd breathe on us again and again and again and again. We look forward to the fulfillment of all the words that you've spoken to us, Lord, spoken to us as individuals, spoken to us as a church, the words that you are speaking to your body throughout the world. We look forward to the fulfillment of all these things. We look forward to the fulfillment of all the prophetic words that are in Scripture that are yet to be fulfilled. We look forward to you coming again. Yes, Jesus, come. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we want to be ready for you. Oh, we want to be a delight to you. I just see us with our arms raised and our heads looking to heaven, and just that bucket pouring down, and just us being drenched, and just this huge smile on our face is just delighting. Not running away. It's funny, when that bucket drops in a children's park, some of the kids just scatter like, and squeals of delight. But I see us facing the bucket, like face on, with our arms out and our head just lifted up, and it just pours right down on us what God wants to pour out. And I say, yes, Lord. And we know that your timing is perfect. We know that your timing is perfect. And so we wait for you, and we will continue to wait for you. We will continue to call out to you. We will continue to listen to you. We will continue to walk with you, Fill our lamps with oil. We love you. We look forward to just walking closer and closer with you. We look forward to hearing every word that comes from your mouth and eating it like honey. Just digesting it. Taking it in. Being fed by you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.